make our confession of faith together. Wednesday was amazing. It got a little quiet because truth started coming. But I know that today is going to take us to a whole nother level. Lift your Bibles high. Let's make our confession of faith together. I'm in my year of more. God will do more in me. God will do more through me. God will do more for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Lord, we need you to speak. Sir, we tell you we are open and we are ready. Do surgery on us. Put in us what needs to be put on us. Take out of us what needs to be taken out of us. Have your way today and get the glory. Speak, Lord. Tell them, say, speak, Lord. We are open and we are ready. In Jesus' name, everybody shout amen. Grab a seat. Let's go to work. So Wednesday, we open this series called Speak, Lord, because Job 33 and 14 says, for God may speak in one way or another, which means God speaks in multiple ways. Yet man does not perceive it. Why does man not perceive it? Man is not aware of it. Man does not understand it. Man does not interpret it. So here's what this series is about: making sure that you are aware that he's speaking, you understand how he's speaking, and you properly interpret what he's spoken. Come on, say, I will be aware, I will understand, I will interpret. Say it with me, y'all. I will be aware, I will understand, I will interpret. Say it with me, y'all. I will be aware, I will understand, and I will interpret. And so in this message, or in that message rather, God is that you, we learn anything you feel like you're hearing, sensing, being led, or feeling. And I dealt with this because many Christians, if you grew up in church, you learn to use words that aren't really accurate as it relates to God. God is a spirit, and watch me, he's a speaking spirit, which means he doesn't dwell or deal in the realm of your feelings. He doesn't dwell or deal in the realm of your emotions. Why? Because your emotions change, your feelings change. You ever felt like you wanted barbecue, and when you got to the barbecue restaurant, you were like, you know what? I want some egg foo young. I want some Chinese food, right? Because your feelings change, and your feelings, watch me, will fool you. So you have to be careful that you are not led by your feelings, because your feelings will change. Watch me. God is not something that's subject to change. So I use these terminologies, but the right way to say it is hearing. But sometimes we'll say I'm sensing. Sometimes people will say I'm being led. Sometimes people will say I'm feeling something. And those terms have become interchangeable, but the right word is that I hear the Lord. Because if he's speaking, what does that mean? I gotta hear him. For we walk by faith, not by sight, which means I'm not living by what I see. What is my sight? It's a sense. So I'm not living by my senses. I'm not living by my feelings. I'm living by what he said. I need you to slap somebody a high five, please, and just tell them, say, live by what he said. 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 So I taught you that there can be one of four voices that is speaking whenever, listen carefully, whenever you think that you're hearing something. Number one is you talking to yourself. And this is dangerous because your biggest desire is always going to be the loudest. What you want most is what you're going to hear loudest, which is why Jesus prayed this: nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Because what I want is telling me that I shouldn't have to go to Calvary. What my flesh desires is telling me I should not have to go through this painful situation. But your will has got to be greater than mine. I need everybody in the building and online to just make this declaration. Say, Lord, I want your will, Lord. 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 I want your will. Come on, just take a few seconds and tell them, say, Lord, I want your will. Lord, I want your will. Lord, I want your will. Whatever you want, make me want that. Whatever you desire, make me desire that. Whatever you want me to do, make that what I desire. Tell them, say, Lord, I want your will. And I gave you the scripture on Wednesday where the psalmist said, Lord, keep me from lying to myself, because sometimes you will lie to you more than the devil lies to you. Second thing you can be hearing is others' opinions. People's opinions will play in your mind, and you have to be careful, because an opinion is just that. It's an opinion. It's not a fact. It's not solid. It's just what somebody thinks about something based on their experience. Here's the danger of an opinion. 12 spies go to spy out the promised land. 10 of them come back with the opinion that we can't do it. 2 of them come back with an opinion saying we have to do it. We can do it. We must do it. The people are negatively influenced by the opinion of the 10, and it becomes a cancer to the entire camp. And for some of you, you're letting people who have never done anything give you their opinion, and it's beginning to shut your faith down. But I pray that you would resist the opinions that are unbiblical of people. I pray that you would shut down the voice of every person that's got something to say that doesn't match up with what God says. You are well able. Would you fist bump somebody and say, you are well able? Type it in the comments. You are well able. You got this. Why? Because God's got you. Number three, Satan can speak. And when Satan speaks, he mixes fact and fiction. I taught you from the garden in Genesis when he was speaking to Eve that he spoke and he mixed fact and fiction. You should go back and watch Wednesday's message or listen to the podcast, because he mixes the two together. And he mixes them together so well that when fact and fiction mix together, it creates confusion. Whenever you're confused, you're about to have, watch me, you're going to have a catastrophe. Whenever you're confused, you're about to have a calamity. Why? Because you think you're doing the right thing. You think you're doing what you should do, but you're doing the wrong thing. And then number four, it's God talking. And when the Lord is speaking, look at me, he will not contradict his word. God is never going to say something to you that contradicts what he already said, because this would make him a liar. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of a man, which means is he born of a woman, that he's got to repent. If God says something, it's not going to contradict what he already said. And I taught you that God speaks through several ways. Number one, he speaks through prayer, praise, and worship. This is why when you worship, and watch me, there's something that begins to happen. When you praise, there's something that begins to happen. When you pray, there's something that begins to happen, which means I'm not just watching them sing. Matter of fact, I don't even need them to sing, because I'll be louder than them on the stage. I'll be louder than them in my house. I'll be louder. Why? Because he needs to hear my sound, because when I release my sound, then he's responding. Lift your hands, open your mouth, worship your God for 5 seconds right there. Go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Say, speak, Lord. Say, speak, Lord. Say it, y'all. Say, speak, Lord. And watch me. When it comes to prayer, praise, and worship, you cannot be concerned what somebody else thinks about your praise. They may say, well, you're too loud. I'm not doing this for you. They may say, well, it don't take all of that. Well, it's not for you, so you don't get to determine what it takes. This is for God. Number two, I taught you that he speaks through angels. The word angel means a messenger. And Genesis 19 teaches us that angels appear as humans. So sometimes God will send a message through a human that acts as a messenger to you. Interestingly enough, in the book of Revelation, if you read it, you'll see, and to the angel of the church at Thyatira, to the angel of the church at Laodicea, the word angel there means the leader, to the messenger, because God says, I will give you a man of God that will be a messenger to you, which means every time you connect with your shepherd, God says, I'm sending you an angelic message. I'm sending you something. But it goes deeper, because you could be sitting on the bus, sitting next to somebody. You could be sitting at the gym, sitting next to somebody. Watch me. What if, y'all ready for this? I got revelation. What if some of the people that ghosted you because they were sent to send a message only? Oh, my God. Y'all don't know when to shout. What if some, you ready for this? What if some of the relationships that ended because they were only there to get you a message about yourself? And once they got you the, I'm preaching better than y'all talking. And once they got you the message, watch me, their assignment was over. So it ended and you're like, the relationship failed. It didn't fail. They delivered the message. Oh, my God. Number three, some dreams and visions. I taught you that some dreams and visions God uses to speak. 95% of your dreams are your spirit purging. I did a whole series you can go watch and listen to on our podcast called Dreams to teach about this subject. But dreams and visions. What's a vision? Essentially, we sometimes call it a daydream. The Bible calls it an open vision or a vision. Dreams and visions. God can use those to speak. 95% of those are about you. It's you purging something. What does that mean, purging? Sometimes there are certain things God has to do when you are unconscious, because he can't do it while you're awake. There are certain things, think of it like surgery. God has to, they have to put you under anesthesia for certain types of surgery because you can't be awake when it happens. Talk. So there are certain types of surgery, certain types of things that God needs to do in you. And he says, the only way I can do it in you is when you're sleeping. So when you're sleeping, I'm going to come visit you and I'm going to speak. So some things will be you purging. What does that mean? What you see in the dream, it's all a reflection of you. So what a person is to you is what they mean in that dream. You got to go watch that series. So you'll be like, I keep seeing my cousin. What is the Lord trying to tell me about my cousin? It's probably not something he's saying about your cousin. It's probably something he's saying about what your cousin means to you. So if your cousin means, watch me, if your cousin means safety to you, every time you see your cousin, God is telling you, I got you. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. Okay, watch me. But 5% of your dreams are prophetic. There's foretelling and foretelling something. God is giving you a warning. This is coming. This is on the way. This is about to happen. And he's giving you time to prepare. I just need you to open your mouth and say, speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. Number four. A storm. That's where we ended Bible study on Wednesday. That God, Job 38, he spoke to Job out of a storm. Which means sometimes the only way you'll listen is if the storm is raging. What is a storm? Wind, what is a storm? Rain, what is a storm? Hail, what is a storm? Tornadoes, what is a storm? It means that things are going on, look at me, that I can't control. Is there anybody in the building or online where you got some storms that are happening in certain areas of your life? What does it mean? There's things that are happening that I cannot control. Watch me. But the God that I serve controls the storm, which means the storm is working for my good. I dare you to just do this for two or three people in the building, two or three people online. Just slap them a high five and say, the storm is working for your good. It's working for your good. I know it don't feel good, don't look good, feels like a mess, feel like you're about to lose everything. But what if the storm was actually putting things into place? Let's go. What if the storm was picking up something over here and dropping it off in the right place? What if the storm was picking up something from here and putting it over there? Somebody say, speak, Lord. Number five, something or someone you least expect. Now let me get very granular with this. On how this shows up. It can be a movie. It can be a play. It can be a TV show. It can be social media. It can even be an unbeliever. Look at me. It can even be an enemy that God will use to get a message to you. He will use whatever he has to use to get a message to you. Have you ever gone through something and said, I hated it when it happened, but when I look back, it's one of the best things that could have happened. Wait for me if that's you. What's me? That happens to us all. Wave at me in the comments. God will use something or someone you least expect to speak to you. And I began to explain this on Wednesday. I want to go deeper. Numbers 22:28. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Shut up. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. Shut up. And I don't mean literally shut up. I want you to get it. God said to this prophet, Balaam, who was on his way to do something he had no business doing. The Bible says that the Lord speaks to Balaam through the donkey, and he gives the donkey the ability to speak. What is a donkey? In the old King James, is referred to as an ass. You'll catch it in a minute. A male donkey is referred to as a jackass. A jenny is referred to as a jenny ass. Look at me. Sometimes God will give a jackass the ability to say something to you. I'm not cussing. Deuteronomy 22:10. Watch me. And thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. It's Bible. Okay? All right, so look at the scripture. In Numbers 22, the Bible says, the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak, which means sometimes God says, I'll have to speak to you in an unexpected location from an unexpected person. Shout, speak, Lord. Three times, verse 33. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Now, this is the Lord speaking to Balaam. The Lord is saying, three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Here's what was happening. Let me set it up. Balaam was on his way to do something he should not do. As he was riding his donkey, and in the Hebrew culture of the scripture, in the Hebrew culture, a donkey was like a luxury automobile. So he's riding his luxury automobile, and he's on his way to do something he has no business doing, and the donkey stops three times. The donkey stops three times. What if I told you some of your stops have been supernatural? Why? Because God says you're on your way to do something that you can do, but you shouldn't do. Oh, my God. That you can do, but you shouldn't do with them. Let's talk. That you can do, but you shouldn't do it there. That you can do, but you shouldn't do it now. I want to see if there's some faith people in the building and online that can say, I thank God for every stop. You know you're mature when you don't just thank God for your starts, but you can thank him for every stop. On three, if that's you, where you can thank him for every stop, I want you to release a praise. One, two, three, shout right there. Go. Every stop. Every stop. Every time it broke down. Every time it didn't work. Every time it didn't go the way you wanted to go. Every time he shut something down. every time it did not work, every time he shut it down. Somebody shout, thank God for my stops. Let's go. Three times, this excites me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now. Look at me. And I would have spared the donkey. The Lord says, if your donkey didn't stop, look at me. If I didn't stop you from doing what you were about to do, you mad that it didn't work. You frustrated that it hasn't happened. God says, but I stopped you because it wasn't the time, it wasn't the place, those weren't the people, that wasn't the man, that wasn't the woman, that wasn't the situation, that wasn't the time, that wasn't the arrangement, that wasn't the team. I am the reason that I stopped your donkey and I gave your donkey the ability to speak. But you, watch me, you were so set on what you were doing, you weren't seeing what I was saying. On three, open your mouth and shout, speak, Lord. One, two, three, speak, Lord. I'm telling you, he's speaking. I'm telling you, he's speaking. So he'll use something very unconventional to get a message to you, which is why your position has to always be speak, Lord. Most of us, we specialize in talking. We don't specialize in listening. So your posture has to always be speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, speak, speak. Watch me. Look at number six. Number six way that he speaks. Logos. I taught you these on Wednesday. Logos is his voice in a verse. It is what God has already said. It's his written word, okay, including numbers, signs, and wonders. Because what a number means is found in the scripture. So every number has a corresponding spiritual significance, okay? Two is the biblical number of witness. Four is the biblical number of creativity and flow. Five is the biblical number of grace, favor, supernatural. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of shalom, completion, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, all is well. Eight is the number of a new beginning. Nine is the number of birthing. 10 is the number of divine perfection. 11 is the number of dysfunction. 12 is the number of government. 13 is the number of betrayal. You got it? 40 is the number of wilderness and testing. 41 is the number to exit a wilderness and exit testing. 50 is the biblical number of jubilee. Are you catching it? 100, watch me, 100 is the number that represents double jubilee. All right? So all of these numbers have a supernatural meaning and a spiritual meaning beyond that, but it's found in the word. How do we ascertain what it means? It's because it's found in the word. Signs. What does this sign mean? It's found in the word. God's giving us, hear me, at the time you're hearing this message, within the next 24 to 30 hours, heaven's about to give us a sign. You better hear me. It's a total eclipse that's about to hit the earth. And the Bible says that the sun, the moon, the stars were used for signs. Got it? All right. And wonders. These are things that make us wonder. All of those things are in his word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word lamp means it's going to make something glisten like it's wet. Look at me. When I'm in his word, see, most people are looking for a voice. Speak, Lord. You're looking for a voice. And really, it's in a verse. Say it's in a verse. This is the primary way that God speaks. He speaks through what he already said. He speaks through all what he already went through. It's kind of like, if somebody asks you something and you explain it, them coming back to ask you to re-explain it multiple times, at one point, okay, it suggests that they're just not reading what you already said. It's going to frustrate you because you're like, we've already been through this. We've already gone through this. We've already examined this. So watch the Bible. Your word is a lamp. And lamp, that word in Hebrew, language of our Old Testament, it means it's going to make something glisten like it's wet. In other words, I wouldn't know what to do, but he made that glisten like it's wet so I know exactly what to do. In other words, he made it crystal clear. I want you to speak this over your life. He's about to make it clear. Come on, let me hear you say that with authority. You type it in the comments. He's about to make it clear. He's going to make that thing glisten so you'll know exactly where to go. Watch me. You'll be driving past the bank. He'll make it glisten and say, go ask them. You'll be driving past the home. He'll make it glisten and say, that's the one. You'll be driving past something. He'll make it glisten. He's about to make it clear for you. And then he says, watch me. It is a lamp to my feet. The word feet there in Hebrew, it means your word gives me the ability to endure my journey. Your word gives me the ability to walk my journey out. In other words, the reason I'm not weary is because I got a word. The reason I'm not wore out is because I got a word. Let me prove it. Is there anybody in this building or online where you were feeling a little weary, feeling a little worried, feeling a little wore out, but you logged on a Wednesday, logged on a Sunday, stepped in a building, watched the pop-up, and it was everything that you needed to help you endure your journey? Wave at me if that's been you. You owe him a praise. Why? Because he just helped you endure your journey. Come on, everybody, open your mouth, shout, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. It helps me endure my journey, and it's a light. What does this mean? It illuminates making decisions clear. That's what it means in Hebrew. In other words, the word illuminates things, making decisions clear, which means the reason we do church, the reason I teach you Bible, and you'll pay attention, every post I make, every pop-up we do, every live we do, every masterclass we do, every Sunday, every Wednesday, all of that, you'll notice I'm always giving you logos. I'm always giving you what he said, because his logos, his written word that's recorded, watch me, it is like a Lego. His logos is a Lego. His logos is a Lego. His logos is a Lego. It's how you build. It's how you navigate through life. And the Bible says it's going to make your decisions clear. In other words, there are certain things you've been wavering on that he's about to make clear. There are certain things you've been uncertain about, he's about to make clear. There are certain things that you were like, I don't really know what I should do. His word is about to make that clear. If you need some clarity in any area of your life, I'm going to simply count to three, and I'm going to need you to release a praise like he's about to give you clarity. One, two, three, put a praise on it right there. Put a praise on it right there. Come on, Florida, Texas, California, Miami, Washington, wherever you're at, South Africa, Brazil, he's about to make it clear. I'm telling you right now, he's about to make it clear. I'm telling you right now, he's about to make it clear. Slap somebody close to you, high five, say he's about to make it clear for you. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. That's the primary way that he speaks. So when people say, I want to get closer to God, then you can't possibly do that and you're not getting into his word. Look at me. Worship is not a replacement for word. Oh, I just said something right there. Let me back it up and say it again. Worship is not a replacement for word. We live in a generation and a time where people, watch me, would love to substitute something in place of the word. Watch me. So they're watching YouTube videos of gospel songs, but they don't know word. Let's talk. They're watching YouTube videos of worship, but they don't know word. They're not listening to a message. They're not listening to the word. I pray God give you a hunger for his word. Why? Because he is his word. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, which means he is his word. So to get closer to him, I got to get in his word. And when I get in his word, I get closer to him. I know more about him because I study him. Come on here. It's just like a relationship. If somebody really wants to be with you, they study you. I'm going to teach right here. If they really like you, they're going to study you. They're going to say, I noticed that you don't eat all of this when we go certain places, so I wanted to go somewhere different today. I noticed that when I call you at a certain time, I noticed you got a little funk in your attitude, so I figured I'd wait to call you. Y'all ain't saying nothing. They study you. Watch me. You cannot say that you love God and you don't study him. What does he like? What does he want? How does he want it? How do you want it? How does he want it? What does he like? You cannot say that you love him and you do not study him. Worship is not a replacement for that. Watch me. Crying is not a replacement for that. Being emotional is not a replacement for that. The second dominant way that God speaks is through your pastor. This is rhema. It's a Greek word. Logos is a Greek word, New Testament. Rhema is a Greek word, New Testament. Rhema is what he's saying from what he's saying now from what he said then. So what I'm teaching you right now, it's what God is saying to you now based on what he said back then. It's a rhema word. Say, and I need a word. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors, which means this is God's idea. God gave, listen, and I don't say this with arrogance or braggadociousness or anything like that. If you've been around for any amount of time, you know my heart. And God will give you pastors, which means God says, hey, harvesters, I've given you a pastor. Watch me. I didn't give you just a motivational speaker. I didn't give you just a coach. I didn't give you just an inspirational speaker. I didn't just give you a social media influencer. I didn't just give you a therapist. I didn't just give you a counselor. He does all of that. But watch me. I gave you a pastor, a shepherd, someone that's going, watch me. that's according to my heart, which means I gave you exactly what I knew that you needed. And his responsibility is to feed you, which means every time you log on, I got to serve up a meal. Every time you're in the building, I got to serve up a meal. Every podcast, every pop-up, I got to serve a meal. That's my responsibility, to feed you. And you can't feed if you can't cook. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You can't feed if you're never prepared. To feed you with knowledge and understanding what to do and how to do it. This is God's idea. And for some of you, today needs to be the day when you finally connect to your rhema. You finally connect to your shepherd. You finally connect to the voice that God has assigned you to. Why? Because anything uncovered spoils, and you'll miss the rhema. You'll miss the word. You'll miss what God is saying to you now based on what he said then. And this is an important thing. He says, and your shepherd will do what? Feed you. So think of it this way. If you eat at Ruth's Chris, where do you pay Ruth's Chris? The same is true with your giving. If this is where you eat, then this is where you pay. It got quiet right there. If this is where you're eating, then this is where you sow. If this is where you're eating, then this is where you tithe. Then this is where you sow into. You bless what blesses you. You feed what feeds you. And I want to get here. Say, I need a word. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 3 because I want you to see these two in action. I want you to see Logos and Rhema in action. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. It says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. And I want to encourage you. You hear me talk about it a lot. I just have to do it because it's Bible. This is Logos. Say Logos. This is what he's saying based on what he said. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by doing what? Assisting Eli. I'm going to back it up and say it again. He served God by serving the man of God. See how quiet it just got right there? He served God. Eli was the prophet. He was the man of God. Samuel is a boy. He's not the man of God yet. He served the Lord by serving the man of God, which means, watch me. For some of you, like, I just want to serve God. God has given you a place to serve him. You can do it in Denver. You can do it in Atlanta. You can do it online. God says, I've given you a place to serve me. You're looking for all these external ways. And God says, I've already given you a way. He served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, watch this. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. In other words, there was a lot of talking, but it wasn't God. I need you to open your mouth. Say, speak, Lord. There was a lot of people saying this, saying that, doing this, doing that, but it was not God. Can I be honest with you? 1 Samuel 3 sounds a lot like now. It's a whole lot of people talking, but they ain't saying nothing. Let's go. It's a whole lot of people with an opinion, but they're not saying anything. The messages from the Lord were rare, and visions were quite uncommon. Look at verse 2. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. Verse 3, the lamp of God and not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Stop right there. Where did Samuel sleep? He slept in the tabernacle near the ark, near the presence of God. Pay attention. There's a principle there. One of the things you should do so that God is always speaking is when you sleep, you should have the word playing. When you speak, you should have a message playing. When you speak, you should have a podcast, a pop-up playing. Why? Because I need to get myself next to the presence of God. Come on. I need to keep myself next to the word of God. And there are certain things that you'll pick up while you're asleep, and you'll wake up and you'll be like, God, dog, I don't know what happened. What happened is that you got next to this presence. You got next to the word when you were sleeping. I need you to shout, speak, Lord, right there. Speak, Lord, speak, Lord, speak, Lord. Look at verse 4. It's about to get good. The meat's about to make its own gravy. Cooks tell me that when the meat is good, meat's good, it makes its own gravy. The gravy about to come right through here. 1 Samuel 3, 4. Suddenly, and I need you to hear me, because for some of you all, you've been in verse 1 where you haven't been getting it. You haven't been listening. You haven't been aware. But you're about to hit verse, come on, 4. Suddenly, the Lord called out to Samuel. Now, I need you, if you're around somebody that's dead, somebody that's not really moving, somebody that's not really paying attention, don't mind them. Reach around them. For those of you online, if you can type it in the comments, you do it, or you stretch your hand towards me if you can't type in the comments. I just need you to find the most on fire person in the building. Online, I just need you to find the most on fire person around you. Stretch your hands towards me because you know I'm on fire. Touch somebody close to you. Say, he's about to speak suddenly. Come on, tell him. He's about to speak suddenly. You're about to get it suddenly. Where it's been cloudy, you're about to get it Suddenly, where it's not been clear you're about to get it, suddenly the Lord called out to Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? Listen carefully. You still with me? You still with me? Look at verse 5. He got up and he ran to Eli. Stop. You already missed it. You already missed it. Go back to verse 4. Suddenly the Lord called out to who? Samuel. Samuel's the boy. Eli's the man of God. Samuel's serving the Lord by serving the man of God. Stay with me. The Lord called to who? Samuel. Go to verse 5. He got up and ran to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. You missed it. God put a failsafe in his voice so that you never ever have to worry or wonder, is this God speaking to you? What's the failsafe, Bishop? Read the verse. He got up and ran to Eli and said, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, Eli replied. Go back to bed. So he did. When he heard God's voice sounded like his man of God. So there was a failsafe so that he didn't have to wonder or worry, is this God speaking to me or not? I don't have to worry because God put a failsafe in there to where if this don't sound like my leader, this ain't God. It got quiet in the building because some of y'all are like, is this God? Is this God? Look at what he did. He put a failsafe in there. Eli heard this, or Samuel heard this voice, and he immediately runs to the man of God, Eli, and says, you just called me, didn't you? He said, no, I didn't call you. Well, he wouldn't have ran to him if he didn't sound like him. I need you to open your mouth in the building and online. Shout, speak, Lord. Look, verse 6. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up. And he went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? He says, I didn't call you, my son. Eli said, go back to bed. That's the second time. Look at me. After not speaking to Samuel at any time, he speaks. First time, goes to Eli. Comes back, goes to Eli. Watch this. You still with me? Watch me. Look at verse 7. Samuel did not know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. Oh, my God. Verse 8. So the Lord called a third time. And once more, Samuel got up and went to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me? Three times, he runs and says, you just called me. No, I didn't. You just called me. No, I didn't. You just called me. No, I didn't. What is God teaching him? He's teaching him the discipline of checking the voice that he hears. Oh, my God. He's teaching him the discipline of understanding. You'll know it's me speaking to you because when I say something to you, I'm going to say something in the tonality of the one I assigned you to. I'm going to say something with the mentality of the one I assigned you to. I'm going to say something with the personality of the one I assigned you to. So, Samuel, you'll never have to question if it's me or not because I put a failsafe in the voice so that you never have to doubt the voice. Did you catch the revelation of what I just said? He said, I'm going to make me sound like him because this is a voice that you trust. I'm going to make me have the tonality, the personality, the mentality of who I assigned you to. So that way you'll never have to question it. Because how many times, wait a minute, does it ever happen? You heard something like playing in your head and you're like, is this the Lord? Wait a minute, does it ever happen? Like, God, are you speaking? God, is this you? God, I don't know. If it doesn't have the tonality, mentality, personality of who he assigned you to, it's a safe bet that's probably not the Lord. Look at the next verse. So he said to Samuel, go lie down. And if someone calls again, say, here it is. Here's the series. Speak, Lord. Come on, y'all. I need you in the building and online. Say, speak, Lord. 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 Come on in the building. Tell him, say, speak, Lord. Online, tell him, say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Come on, tell him, say, I'm open and I'm ready. Come on, y'all, we're done. Say, I'm open and I'm ready. I'm open and I'm ready. Speak, Lord. Come on, I'm trying to teach you how to do it. Say, I'm open and I'm ready. Say, I'm listening. I'm ready. Tell me what to do. Tell me who to call. Tell me where to go. I'm open. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Look at me. Why did Eli teach him to respond like this? Because he said, Samuel, you need to learn, one, to let the Lord know that you've opened yourself up to hear. And then he says, watch me. Not only have you opened up yourself to hear, he says, but you need to be clear with the Lord that you're ready to hear. Listening is different than just hearing. Hearing means I perceive there's a sound. Listening is I'm paying active attention to the sound that I'm hearing. In other words, I'm not just hearing, I am listening. This is why, watch me, this is why he tells him this. So Samuel went back to bed. Watch this, and here we go, and we're done. Verse 10, and the Lord came and called as before. Now this is interesting because I need you to pay attention. Say, Lord, help me get this. How many times has this happened? Three. Here's the fourth time. You already missed your shout. So I'm going to back it up. And I need y'all in this building and online. Denver, come on now, y'all. Come on, you ready? Okay, all right. How many times did God speak before verse 10? Three. We're in verse 10. This is the fourth time. You're in the fourth month. You're in the year 2024. If you don't open up your mouth and shout, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Come on, and put a praise behind that right there. Come on, Memphis. Come on, Atlanta. Come on, Miami. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Your servant is listening. This is the fourth month. I'm listening. In the year 2024, I'm listening. I'm listening. Tell them, y'all, say, I'm listening. And I will obey. Verse 11, last verse. And here's what he's saying to you. And I need you to not respond to this verse the wrong way. I need you to respond to this verse the right way, okay? If you respond with joy, you're going to see it manifest with joy. Then the Lord said to Samuel, once God saw that he was listening, because there's no need in me telling you something you ain't listening to. Once he saw that he was listening, he tells Samuel, I'm about to do. He said, Bishop, why are you always saying God's about to do? Because this is how he talks. Look at how he talks. I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. Oh, God. What was he telling him? He said, I'm about to do something unusual. I'm about to do something that's going to shock you, shock your mama them, shock your cousin them, shock your enemies, shock your haters. I'm about to shock everybody. I need you. We're done, y'all, but I just need you to know what he's about to tell you. Or you just go to three people. Matter of fact, make it four people in the building. Let's fist bump them, high five them, elbow them. Just say, God's about to do something shocking for you. He's about to do something shocking for you. He's about to do something shocking for you. Come on. Can you just put that in the comments? He's about to do something shocking. 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 Somebody say, this thing is going to be shocking. This is going to be shocking. Come on. All right, watch me. Shocking, in most of its definitions, has a negative connotation. It has a negative connotation. There's one definition that is apropos and applies here for your life. Say, what is it, Bishop? It means to arrange your harvest. I'll wait for you to respond because apparently the King's English, we just need to brush up on that around here. In other words, God says, I'm about to arrange your harvest. I'm about to do a shocking thing. Which means all of this delay has been me arranging your, okay. All of what's frustrated you is me arranging. Come on. What does this mean? I'm putting everything in the right place. I'm putting everything in the right predicament. I'm putting everything in the right setup. I'm making sure that everything is arranged properly. If you know I'm speaking to you and you believe he's about to do something shocking in your life and he's about to arrange things for you, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to release a crazy praise because he's about to do something shocking. 1, 2, 3, go. Release that praise right there. I'm arranging it, setting it up, putting it together, getting it in order, setting up the right people, setting up the right place, getting rid of the wrong people, bringing in the right people. I'm about to do something shocking. Drop that word in the comments, shocking. Lay your hands on yourself, shocking. I'm about to arrange this thing. I'm about to put everything together. I'm about to put everything in the right place at the right time. Glory to God. And it's going to be sudden. It's going to be quick. You're going to wake up and it's going to be there. You're going to check your email and it's going to be there. The eclipse will be over and it'll be over. I'm about to do something shocking. In Jesus' name, shall speak, Lord. Shall speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. You need a word. Wherever you're at, in this building or online, hear me clearly. If you need to become a Christian, recommit yourself to the Lord, be sure. You cannot hear clearly and you're not his. You can't tell him you're listening and you're not his. So today, some of you need to become Christians. You need to recommit yourself to the Lord. You need to be sure. Wherever you're at, in this building or online, on the count of 3, you're going to slip your hand up. And when you do that, we're going to shout, we're going to celebrate, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to give you some instructions. God's not mad at you. God's not trying to beat you up. God's not trying to beat you down. He loves you, and he loves you to life. If that's you today, you need to become a Christian. Recommit yourself to the Lord, or be sure, wherever you're at, on 3. Hands up in the building, online, do the hand with emoji, says me. Join the over 800 people this year so far that have given their lives to the Lord. 1, 2, 3. Hands up in the building, hands up online. I need you to clap and celebrate that, church. We're a church that celebrates people coming to the Lord. I said we're a church that celebrates people coming to the Lord. Everybody, pray this with me. Say, Father, thank you for dying in my place. Thank you for your love for me. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you are my Lord and my Savior. Give me the grace to be a faithful Christian from this day forward. If I fall or if I fail, give me the grace to get right back up again. Today is the beginning of the rest of my life. Do something shocking for me. Come on, y'all. Do something shocking for me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just pray that prayer, we're celebrating, heaven's celebrating. Bible says angels and everybody's celebrating because when just one comes to the Lord, you scan that QR code or text Harvest to 55498. Let us know that you just gave your life to the Lord by entering the option salvation. We're going to put a message into your hands right away to show you how to make Christianity your lifestyle and not just a hobby. Some of you are saved, but you need a shepherd. You've heard me mention this now 3 times. In this message, that's on purpose. Hear me. It is only because I want you to have and walk in everything that God wants you to walk in. And if I'm your shepherd, you can connect. Text Harvest to 55498 or scan that QR code. All right. Listen, I love you. I said, I love you, Harvest. I said, I love you, Harvest. I said, I love you, Harvest. Listen very carefully. If you came in late, you weren't able to give, I want you to get your giving ready. If you've already given, we're going to sow the seal. And we're going to seal, what is that? Since May of 2022, so we're coming up on now 2 years, and the Lord has had me to do this. And he says, son, I want you to begin to every prayer, every message, and then we started these pop-ups. He said, everyone, I want you to challenge the people to sow. I said, Lord, every single time? He said, yep. He said, because I'm about to release wealth into the hands of the people of Harvest. And if you haven't read the praise reports, then maybe you don't know that. Maybe you're not seeing that. But I need you to hear me. He's keeping true and he's honoring his word. And so our seed today is going to be from Job 33 and 14. Job 33 and 14. Job 33 and 14. That's our seed, 33:14. I'm using text to give it today. What is the name of this seed? My word. My word. That's the name of the seed. 33:14. There's my text to give. It just went through. All you got to do is text harvest to text the amount rather to 84321. You can give that way. You can mail it PO Box 441004, Aurora, Colorado 844. You can scan the QR code that's there. You can use Cash App, $ Bishop Vollmer with the number 2. You can also use stocks, gift cards, crypto, donor advised funds, so many new methods for you to give. All of that's on the screen for you to be able to give. I want to encourage you today. I taught you last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, you're an ambassador. Share this message. Even if you're in the building, share this message online. When you share, people get saved. There's no place I go where I don't run into people who aren't connected to Harvest in some way, shape, form, fashion. Every airport, I run into Harvesters. Every city, I run into Harvesters. I was just in Memphis. I ran into Harvesters. You got to hear me. We're everywhere. I said, we are everywhere, you all. That's a good place to clap. Amen. We are everywhere. Lift your giving to the Lord in the building and online. Don't forget, we're online all day today. 9:15, 11:15, 1:15, 4 and 7. It's on Mountain Time. If you're in Atlanta, I want you to find out more about what we're going to be doing there. Somebody say, and every delay is to our benefit. We're excited about what we're going to be doing in this Atlanta metro area. You can text Harvest to 55498 to find out more about that. Lift your giving to the Lord. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say, I sow the seal, the word that I've just heard, in the name of Jesus. And I believe that this word, and I believe that this seed will seal that in me. I'm a faithful giver, therefore I flourish. Money is not my issue in any way, shape, form, or fashion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastors are passing here at Grape Street. You can use one of the online giving methods if you're giving online. For those of you here at Grape Street, I have prayer partners right down front immediately following the experience to pray with you over any prayer requests from our online family. You can drop your prayer request right there in the comments, and our prayer partners, or excuse me, our online ambassadors are going to cover your prayer requests in prayer. Let's do it together, everybody. Love God, love people, and love life. Okay.